I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome back in, everyone, on this gloomy Wednesday. It's gloomy outside. Happy seasonal depression season to all who observe. Great way to start the show. We'll try to keep it up, upbeat here, though. Thanks for joining us. Got Brendan in here with me this week. Brendan Farrell. I just realized I really never give y'all's last name in case people aren't quite familiar with you. Just some dudes named James and Brendan pop into the studio out of nowhere.
It's okay. Our sports department's three people. So, you know, yeah. None of us had the same first name, so it's not harder to figure that out.
That's true. That's true. And, of course, with us, as always, is Podgator. Okay. Y'all have been doing, not a new podcast. You've revived an old podcast of ours. I feel like I should plug it. Justify Your Existence. Formerly hosted by Parrish Alford when he was still with us. Now it's you and James. Y'all record on Mondays, don't you?
Yeah, we're still trying to get into like a rough kind of schedule of things, but that's the plan.
Yeah, just talking Ole Miss and MSU sports, and plenty to talk about this week with the news out of Starkville with Zach Arnett. Okay, so check out that podcast, Justify Your Existence, wherever you can find a podcast. It's probably there, as is this one, which comes to you every Wednesday. And I want to invite you to check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, at Midtown Point in Tupelo. Good stuff. I mixed it up a little bit today. Got the meat lovers, which is a favorite. Then I got the barbecue chicken, which I haven't gotten in months. Forgot how good it was.
Yeah, I was going to say, since I've been here, I think that's the first time you've gotten. And I was almost wondering if they had like a new pizza out.
No, I just haven't gotten it for whatever reason. They've got a Mexican pizza, too, that's pretty good. I have to get that next time. That one will really clear out your sinuses.
I was going to say, I think I'll pass.
That's right. You don't like spicy
stuff. I say one way or another, I think I'll be passing. But
yeah, you don't like spicy food, do you?
It's not that I don't like, I can't handle it, is the thing.
Yeah, well, you like the spicy food doesn't like you, or something. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about. Basketball season has gotten underway for most everybody. Obviously, football playoffs ongoing, and we'll look back at a couple of last week's games, look ahead to this week's big matchups. We'll announce the Athlete of the Week nominees, which you can vote on our Twitter page, at DJournalSports. Let's start with some basketball. I got out to Ingemar last night for the first time this season, and there was a big-time girls showdown. Number 5 Ingemar against number 7 Tisch County. They have not played each other, Brendan, in I don't know how long. I asked Trent Adair, the Ingemar coach, and he said he can't remember the last time they played, at least at Ingemar. And so, kind of surprising, two, you know, pretty good, really good basketball programs. Of course, Ingemar won the 1A state title last year. Tisch County made a deep run into the 4A playoffs. So a lot of players back for both teams, and went about like I expected. It was close. Ingemar led the whole way, never trailed. It was never tied, but was never out of hand. There was a couple of moments it looked like it might get out of hand, but Tishomingo County was able to fight and claw back. I mean, just had an awful shooting night, but they were able to create some turnovers, I think 21 to be exact, and only gave it away 11 times themselves. So they played really good defensively, unless Macy Pfeiffer had the ball near the rim or in some other kind of scoring position. She ended up with 26 points, and she had 10 rebounds, and that was a big stat. Ingemar out-rebounded Tisch County 42-20. Yeah, Reese Moore just had a tough time getting her shot to go down. She did end up with 25 points, but had to take a lot of shots to get there. And, you know, she's got a younger sister, Meg Moore, just an eighth grader. She's pretty good, too. Now, Ingemar did a pretty good job on her, but, you know, she's young. And, you know, she's still trying to get used to these kind of environments, because going into Ingemar and playing for the first time can't be easy. For especially for an eighth grader. But Ingemar held on to get the win by the final of 56-48. South Pontotoc's boys are off to a hot start, beat Tupelo in the season opener on Saturday, 67-65 in overtime. I was I covered the game before that. Tupelo girls lost to a team from Alabama. Did not stick around for the boys game. Kind of wish I had. But South Pontotoc pulls off the upset. And then they beat Holco. So they're 2-0. You had to talk with Chris Vandiver, the head coach, about his team. We'll have a little something in the Thursday's Journal. I mean, they've got a bunch of guys back. Pacey Matthews, one of the best scorers in the area. So not really that surprising, I guess, because Tupelo's trying to, you know, that they beat Tupelo, because Tupelo's still trying to figure some things out with the transfers and all that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to go from playing a 7A school to a 1A just in the span of a few days.
Yeah. But Holco is a pretty tough 1A school most years.
Oh, yeah. And it looked like, you know, they gave South Pontotoc a decent run. I think it was
46-31, something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty much tied at halftime. It was close at
low
halftime.
Low scoring, yeah.
And then it looked like, just based off the score that in my talk with Vandiver, that they just put the clamps on them in the second half.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of got out of whatever funk they were in and just kind of turned it on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good snapshot. As you cover more basketball around here, Brendan, that you'll see, classification doesn't really matter all that much when it comes to basketball around here. I mean, we've got 1A teams that could beat the brakes off 6A, 7A teams, and good 6A, 7A teams. I mean, Ingemar, 2A team, 1A last year, they could hang with anybody in the area. But South Pontotoc, of course, they're a 4A team. So, nice start for the Cougars there. Football, let's look back at last week. I had Vardaman and Tupelo Christian. That game was at Vardaman. Was expecting a close game, Brendan, and it was not a close game at all. It was, 28-0 at halftime. And Vardaman went on to win 42-14. Got to see Zay Pratt, the running back, big 6'2", 220 kid for Vardaman. Had a good game, 108 yards. Couple of touchdowns. Really impressed with the quarterback. He's Brady White. He had been injured for a lot of the season, came back about 4 weeks ago. And he didn't throw it much, but he completed all five of his passes, had two of them for touchdowns. He's like 6'3", good arm, and really had good command of the offense. They don't throw it a lot, period, but that's something certainly they have an option to do, it looks like. And so Vardaman took care of TCPS, and then he had East Webster beating Kossuth. And that was your game, was it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, that game I expected to be a little closer, but turnovers, well, as Kossuth suffered several of those, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think they had a couple. Just kind of turnovers, some penalties. Just couldn't really get it just all going at the same time on offense. And, You can't give East Webster those kind of second chances and that kind of thing.
No, they're very good defensively, and they've got some weapons on offense, obviously, with Caleb Warnock. And the kind of team that just kind of grinds you down, don't they?
Yeah, and, I'm just kind of surprised to see a team like Kossuth get kind of grinded down like that. That's their bread and butter, you know?
Exactly, yeah. So the East Webster, man, they just keep looking better each and every week. East Webster moves on in the 3A playoffs. And looking ahead to some of this week's games, speaking of 3A, the Morville train is still on the tracks somehow. We don't know. Jimmy Young is performing a bit of sorcery over there. The Troopers, 9-3. I believe that's a record for most wins in the season for Morville. And they go to Amanda Elzey this week. They won. Okay, let's recap. Had to beat Aberdeen to get in the playoffs last week of the regular season. Won that game 21-20. First round, went to Independence, won that game 13-12. Both of those games, Mason Gillentine, the starting running back, was limited by an ankle injury. He had five total carries in those games. Did not play at all last week at Humphreys County. Morville is down 20-6 entering the fourth quarter, and Brody Thompson, the quarterback who took over when the freshman phenom Wyatt McDaniels was hurt midseason, Thompson throws three touchdown passes in the fourth quarter, and they somehow rally to win 27-20 over Humphreys. And big shout out to the defense, because they've been playing really well, played well against Aberdeen and Independence, and shut out Humphreys County in the second half. And also just, I mean, huge kudos to Brody Thompson. I mean, it was a tough night, tough sledding for most of the night. Yeah, I think he ended up, what, 17 of 42? But Morville, man, they got some, we'll call it Morville magic going on. I mean, I'm inclined to believe they can do it again this week.
How can you not be romantic about high school football?
I know, right? I mean, yeah, they're playing an Amanda Elsey team that I saw against Boonville in the first round. They got a couple of just beasts on the defensive line. I mean, they rack up, they average about 4 or 5 sacks a game, and this kid gets most of them. They've got a 6'4" quarterback who can spin it and can run equally effectively. He did make a couple of bad decisions in that Boonville game early, threw a couple of picks, but he settled down in the second half and played really well. The Javorian Glover, that's the quarterback for Amanda Elsey. And this will be on the road. But you know what? I would really did not expect Morville to beat Humphreys County. And so, naturally, I don't expect them to beat Amanda Elsey, but I think they can, especially if Guillentine comes back, which he might be back this week. And certainly Brody Thompson and those receivers have a ton of confidence after what they did in the fourth quarter against Humphreys County last week. I think Eli Hussey had 2 of those touchdown catches. He's been their go-to guy all year. And then Will Carnathan had the other one. And Carnathan filled in a lot as far as running the ball for Guillentine. So, I mean, they're 9-3, man. I don't know what else to say about it.
It's just funny. I was there. I don't know if it was the first game without McDaniels or I think it might have been the second. It was early.
Yeah.
When they played Nettleton. And you figured at that point you were just going to write them off. And they had they nearly came back and beat Nettleton. I was like, at the time, you know, I was thinking, man, that's not a great result for Nettleton, right? Like,
yeah.
And now I'm thinking, like, well.
That looks a lot better now. I mean, this team's got some what's the word I'm looking for?
Grit,
gumption.
That's the exact word that Jimmy Young will tell you too.
Yeah,
so and one of his 3 G's.
And yeah, that's true. And I mean, all coaches like to say that, but like, there's ample evidence yes, they are gritty.
There's a lot of grit and sandpaper there.
I mean, exactly, a bunch of sandpaper players. Yeah, I mean, you're down 20-6 entering the fourth quarter, and they scored a touchdown. I think they recovered an onside kick after that. First touchdown, right?
Which doesn't surprise me because the game, the Nelson game I was at, they recovered 2 of them. So
wow, that's right, they did. I forgot about that. Scored again to tie it, and then got a stop on defense and scored with, I forget how much time. It was less than 2 minutes, though, wasn't it? I mean, it was not much time left.
Something like that.
And so got the big win. They'll see if they can keep it going at Amanda Elsey this week in the quarterfinals of the 3A playoffs. Going back to Vardaman again, they're coming up to Baldwin this week to continue their 1A playoff run. The Rams are undefeated. Baldwin, though, despite their record, 7-5, not going to be an easy out. I mean, Vardaman, I think, proved a lot last week by beating a good TCPS team as soundly as they did. But I think it's going to get tougher each round, as it should, because even if you get past Baldwin, you got to deal with Biggersville in the North Final. But I mentioned, you know, Pratt and White, the quarterback, and they got a bunch of guys they can use. It's not just those two. They got 2 or 3 other guys on offense that can hurt you. And, I mean, that defense hasn't given up more than 14 points to a team all season. Tupelo Christian was one of, I think, 2 teams to score 14. And that second touchdown was scored at the end of the game, garbage time. So, Baldwin, we wrote about them earlier this week. DeLon Johnson, the quarterback, first-year starter, is really coming to his own, playing really well down the stretch and into the playoffs. So this should be a really, I think, close game. Of course, I thought I said that about Vardaman TCPS, so what do I know? But you had the story on Baldwin this week, and Michael Gray. I mean, I know it's not always easy to get a bunch of info out of Michael. We love him, but yeah, soft spoken guy. But what's he kind of think about this matchup?
Well, first, let me just throw out there that yes, Baldwin 7-5. I mean, like, their losses have come against really good teams and teams that are not at the 1A level,
right?
Like, yeah, right. There are blowout losses to Kasuth and East Webster, but there's not a
they schedule tough every year. Yeah,
yeah, Yeah, and in, you know, 1A school is probably not going to do well against, you know, a 3A in the ways that, like, East Webster and Cossey play, right?
Right, right.
You know, they had a 8-point loss to Boonville, right? Like, these are good teams that they have played. And even at the 1A level, they played Biggersville and TCPS. Granted, the TCPS game was close and the Biggersville game wasn't. But and that TCPS game could have gone either way because I was there.
Yeah.
You know, I think they've got the offensive firepower to, you know, really challenge Vardaman's defense.
I think so, too. Yeah.
You know, like...
I mean, they got a bunch of really good receivers. You got to cover them all.
Yeah, no, it's going to be... I'm interested to see how Hasten Nelson does.
Oh, yeah. He's been their go-to guy for the last three seasons. And if you don't cover him, you're going to pay the price. So, this will be probably their toughest test today for the Vardaman defense and possibly for its offense. Okay, so that's a big 1A game coming up. And then in 7A, a couple of games, we got the Little Egg Bowl, Part Deux, Starkville at Oxford in the quarterfinals of the 7A playoffs. Starkville won the regular season meeting 33-13, I think it was. But Oxford has not lost since that game. They've won six in a row, and Mitchell Grandjean, the quarterback, the sophomore, he's kind of, you know, he had been splitting snaps with his brother, his older brother, Peter, but has been getting the majority of the snaps the last six games. And over those six games, he's completed 61% of his passes, 1,010 yards, 13 touchdowns, only two picks. Granted, they weren't playing, you know, teams on Starkville's level, the collective record of those opponents, 25-40, but still, it's got to be encouraging for the offense to have some stability at quarterback because, you know, you can play two quarterbacks and make it work, but it's always better if you have just one main guy. And so Mitchell Grandjean has kind of taken over that lead role under center and is playing really well going into this game. I think they give Starkville a much better game than last time. It's going to be at their place, for one. Last time was at Starkville. And two, just the kind of momentum they've got. I feel like the confidence that can breed. I think that'll be a tight one. Then we got Tupelo with a rematch as well against Madison Central, a team that beat 14-12 during the regular season. And defense played great. Offense did not look good that game. Jeremiah Harrell only completed 4 of 13 for 44 yards, no touchdowns. Since that game, he and the offense have both been much more productive. Tupelo's averaging 38.5 points per game since that Madison Central game. And Harrell, since then, has completed 68% of his passes for 824 yards, 12 touchdowns, just one pick. So I think the Tupelo offense has looked sharper of late, and you've seen that firsthand as well. And honestly, I don't know that this game will be as close or even close, period.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, there was like that stretch between, you know, the Houston game and I would say like the Germantown game where it's kind of the sort of box of chocolates thing where it's like you don't really know what you're going to get out of Tupelo. Honestly, on both sides of the ball, I mean, they gave up 38 points to Houston, right? But it seems like they kind of settled in over time, and really that 36-6 win over Starkville. I mean, that's
That was the best game that played all year. Had to be. I mean, Ty Harden thought so. No, I haven't seen every game of theirs this year, but I've been following them, and I saw that one. I'm like, it's hard to play much better.
Yeah, than they and played. Of course, neither have I. I haven't seen all their games either, but you just sort of figure they're playing some of their best football at the right time, and you know, maybe with some of the injuries they had midseason, they're starting to.
Yeah,
guys have gotten more comfortable in their new roles.
Tristan Jernigan has come back with a vengeance. I mean, he's one of the team's top tacklers despite missing, like, what, four games or something. I think they'll be able to handle business against Madison Central on Friday. We'll have previews of some of these games. We'll have a little something on every game looking ahead, and we'll have coverage on Friday night. We'll look for that at djournal.com and in your daily journal on Saturday. Quick note, Mr. Football Award winners were announced last week. I think it was last Thursday. We had three area kids take home a Mr. Football Award. Trey Petty, the quarterback for Starkville, won it in 7A. Cannon Daniels, the West Point running back in 5A. And William Eccles, The offensive and defensive linemen from Houston won the award in 4A. So congrats to those guys, and let's wrap it up with the Athlete of the Week nominees. Remember, you can go to our Twitter page, at DJournalSports, to vote for Athletes of the Week. The female nominees this week are Ann Crotwell of North Pontotoc, Lily Grace McCutcheon of Lafayette, and Carmen Owens of Pontotoc. Male athlete nominees, Trey Gunn of Biggersville, Eli James of Wheeler, and Logan Wilbanks of Walnut. And that's all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us. Every Wednesday you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Give me a follow on Twitter at BradLog. Brendan is at BFerrell727. See, I just think of the airplane.
Exactly.
Easier. Yeah. Okay, cool. Podgator, not on Twitter, but he says hello, or goodbye, rather. You can get him on Twitter. That'd be fun.
Yeah, somebody's got to create, like, a burner account that's Podgator.
Yeah. Yeah, you get on that. Let's do that. All right, see y'all next time.